Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be.
Hey, everyone. Tonight, I know we're a little confused. It's Wednesday night, and I'm doing a show. What's that? It's a special edition of the Rad Reality Show. Tonight is going to be fun. Please participate. The show won't be good without your participation, so interact with us and have fun tonight. Call in at 347-237-5506. And when you do call in, push 1 if you want to talk to the host. Because if you don't push 1, I think you're just listening in.
Welcome, Joe Schmo fans, to a very special evening with a very special guest here on the Rad Reality Show Network. We are honored to be bringing you the executive producer of the Joe Schmo Show. Mr. J. Holland Moore is here with us. They just finished airing season 3 of the Joe Schmo Show last night, and I have to say it was absolutely fabulous. We are so honored to be bringing Mr. J. Holland Moore here on the show with us, and we'll be bringing him up in just a moment. I want to remind everyone, you are available to call in and ask questions. The phone number here is 1-347-237-5506. Feel free to call in, ask questions, talk to J. Holland Moore. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to ask questions to an executive producer of one of the most fabulous, funny reality shows that's ever been produced. And he's also written for other reality shows as well. So I'm going to be bringing him up on the air right now. I can't wait to introduce him. Let's do it right now. Mr. J. Holland Moore, I am so thrilled to have you with us here on the Rad Reality Show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We are so excited, too. I watched last night's season finale. Joe Schmo has been one of my absolute favorite reality TV shows of all time. And I have to say, it was fabulous.
Did you cry?
It did bring tears to my eyes. It did at the very end. I want to introduce you to, we have someone else on the phone line with us. My co-host, Paul from Minnesota, is also here with us. Paul, you want to say hi?
Hi, Jay Holland. How do you like to be called?
John?
You know, when I'm credited, it's Jay Holland because my name is John, and there's like a million John Moores. So that's why I do that. But you can call me John, whatever you want.
Well, welcome, John. And I got emotional too. I'm surprised you brought that up. I was going to be embarrassed to mention it, but it was a great finale, and it was like more, not you, but more of the show.
Yeah, I tell you, I think if you don't get emotional, if you didn't get emotional during that last night, man, you need to see a doctor or something, because that's pretty intense.
It was, you know, I was worried when I saw that the Joe Schmo was coming back, because season one was just so incredible. You know,
yeah.
When you saw the finale for season one and him mm-hmm. going, "What is going on?" You know, nobody will ever forget those words. And
yeah.
You had to wonder, can they do it? Can they make this one like season one? You know, season two was altogether different. But season three was going to be back to like season one. And, you know, I had to wonder, can they do it? Can they pull this off? And I have to say, you guys outdid yourself. You really knocked it out of the park.
You know, we tried, and, you know, it was, you know, when they first approached me that they were going to come do another season, you know, I had to think about it because, you know, this show is so close to me. I didn't want to be the guy that ruined it. And, you know, it had been a while, and it was so great before. I kind of wanted to protect it, but at the same time, I didn't want anyone else doing it but me. So I had to do it, and it was one of the best experiences I've ever had.
You certainly. I can see where you had to probably give it some thought, because I can see where your thought process went there. It had to be something that, you know, you're a little skeptical of doing, and then yet, you know, that's your baby, and you don't want anybody else stepping in and doing it. So
exactly.
I can certainly see where your thoughts were there. But you guys picked the absolute best guy. Chase Rogan just did you guys great justice on the show. He was phenomenal. And so whoever did the casting, props to them. I mean, he and his wife were just adorable last night. And, you know, she was so great for getting up there and, you know, being Lady Justice. I thought that was great that she was willing to, you know, participate in the finale like that. Just a fabulous, fabulous finale. I have to ask, you know, how hard was it going back after all these years and starting up with Joe Schmo all over again and coming up with the concept and just going for it from the concept and going through this whole process? And you said it took about a year?
Yeah, absolutely. What happened was Zoo Productions, the production company that did it this time, they actually pitched The Full Bounty as a real show to Spike. You know, it was a little different. Like, their concept was, you know, it would be out in the field. They wouldn't be living together. They'd be out in the field, real people bringing in felons, because in some states, you don't have to be licensed to be a bounty hunter, so you can do it anywhere. And, you know, Spike bought that show, and then, you know, they were talking about it and said, you know what, this may be the perfect excuse to bring back Joe Schmo. So they contacted me, and of course I was intrigued because I love it, doing this show more than anything. And so they'd already released a press release about the full bounty show. So you know, we knew it was going to be a bounty hunting thing, but I changed the concept a little bit because the way they had it, you know, you were always outside, not on the ground, and you know, when you're doing Joe Schmo, you have to be in control of everything. I love the idea of doing a bounty hunting thing. That sounded like a lot of fun. There was a lot of great characters there, and you know, Spike was great. You know, I initially just came up with the characters for the show first, and then started writing storylines. And you know, Spike, they were fantastic with not pulling me back, not making me change. You know, they made me change very little of it, which is rare. I mean, I wrote that eviction ceremony a little crazier than I thought that I thought I could get away with, because I said they'll pull me back some, so I'll write a little crazy and then I'll get to where I want it to be. And they let me go with it full throttle. So, you know, I loved them for that.
When he said, no, a real actor, I almost lost it. You add just the right touch of drama and humor. And it's so perfect. It's such a perfect mix of, you know, the intensity, the drama, and the humor all mixed in.
Hey, yeah, I would like to ask that, because it's not really a reality show, because everything is so set up. What kind
right.
of, what genre would you put it in? How would you where would you plug it?
You know, yeah, I guess it's described as a hybrid show. When we're putting it together, the way I approach it is it's a sitcom where
yes.
we don't know what one character is going to do. You know, we write the whole season out, but anything could change because, you know, we have one character that can do whatever he wants. And you know, we've got to react to him. But, yeah, I mean, it falls into a lot of categories, you know, because for Chase, you know, it is a reality show. Our actors, you know, they're scripted. They know what they have to say. So it's a scripted show for them. So it's a combination. There's really no show like it, you know. And it's funny, as far as reality TV is these days, like our show is probably the most real reality show, and it's completely fake. But
well,
it's
that's
fun.
That's a good way to put it. But it's one of the most classic shows. I mean, nothing can compare to it.
Yeah, I like to think that's true.
There certainly isn't. There's nothing that compares to it. It's got the most unique idea and
well,
theme that there is out there. I mean, there's been a few that have sort of tried to mimic it, but it just hasn't gotten close.
Yeah, you know, I think the people that have tried to mimic it, the thing they forget is, you know, the show has to have heart. You know, at the end of the day, it's about one guy who's, you know, a good guy. And, you know, you have to really, really show the heart of the show. It's not just, you know, we're not just playing a trick on a guy. We're letting him shine. And, you know, we don't, some people say, oh, it's so mean. And, you know, I don't think of it as mean, because we never do anything to make him look foolish and stupid. We don't make fun of him. We're the stupid ones, and it's his reaction to us. And I think a lot of people, when they try to imitate it, they forget that, and they just start doing mean things to people. And, you know, that's not what it is. You know, you want to care about this guy, and you want him to succeed. You know, the perfect Joe is somebody who America wants to see win the money. You know, you want to cheer for him. And I think a lot of the fakers, if you will, they just go for the easy laugh, and you know, in that process they miss the point of what we're doing, and to me the laughter falls flat. So you know, it's a delicate mix.
It really is, and I think that's why Joe Schmo Show has had such great success where the others have fallen flat.
Yeah, I think that's the key.
So, were you the creator of the original one, or were you partnered with? How did you come up with the concept? Or, you know, initially, way back for season one.
Well, initially, it was created by two guys named Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. They're the original masterminds of the show. They went on to do Zombieland, the movie. And, you know, they were too busy to come back and do it this time. And I, as a writer, I was on both seasons, one and two, before this as a writer. And, excuse me. Another show that's very similar to it called Invasion Iowa. You know, they did those shows. I was a writer on all three of those. So I kind of had the most experience of anybody out there doing it other than them. And, you know, they're off doing movies and just didn't have time for it. You know, they were always there if I had any questions or anything like that. But they just weren't able to do it, which is, you know, great for them and great for me. But
now,
you know, since I've been involved in the other seasons, I was able to step in. I knew how it worked. I knew the best way to do it. And, you know, it just worked out great for us.
Now, you know, Ralph Garman, who played Jake, was on the previous Joe Schmo shows, I believe. But
yeah.
Was there anybody else in your production team that you brought along, because that would seem a key to me for them to understand.
Yeah, you know, we tried to do that as much as we could. We used the same casting for all three seasons, both actor casting and our Joe casting. You know, because the casting is so key in the show, and so we used the same people we used before. And, you know, the team that cast our actors, it's, you know, it's Pat Melton, Will Levine, and Ted Hahn. And those people, they're just amazing at finding talent. And, you know, it was really important for them to do it. On the production side, I believe I was the only one that had been there for all the other ones. Now, Sharon Levy, she worked for the production company for the first two, and now she's the head of Spike Reality. So,
wow.
You know, she was there for all three, but in a different capacity. And it was great to have her because she's like a real champion of the show. She loves the show, and that's always nice when the network is really into your show.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and it is such a unique show. I mean, I can see where you consider it sort of your baby, and there's nothing out there like it. You know, it's not something that, you know, you're going to see every season or even every year. And when my husband and I saw that it was coming back on, I was just as excited as I could be. We talk about, we have shows on the Rad Reality Show Network about many different reality shows. We have our Big Brother show, we have our Survivor show, we have an Amazing Race show. You know, we talk about many different reality shows. But I was getting everybody involved when I heard that the Joe Schmo Show was coming back on and talking about it on almost every show we did, because it was just so near and dear to my heart, and I got everybody involved in it. You know, it was just something
awesome.
That, you know, you love. Once you get hooked in it, it's like you want to get everybody else involved. It's so funny, and you want to get everybody else in on those laughs.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, and our fans are the best, you know. Like, you know, I try to live tweet the show as much as possible, and you know, I try to answer as many questions as possible. I read every single tweet that has anything about the show in it. I read every single one, and you know, I enjoy that interaction with everybody. And the fans of the show have been so great, and you know, it's been fun watching them watch the show, because you know, I know what's coming up, so I know when they get excited, and then I know when they're about to get excited. And yeah, it's been fun.
How hard was it when Chase got injured and you guys had to take him to urgent care?
Oh, it scared us to death. It really did, because I mean, and on two levels. Like, first of all, you know, the last thing we want is somebody getting injured.
Well,
so, you know, the first thing was, all right, it's just a TV show. Is he okay? Then once we figured that he was okay, you know, then we had to worry with, okay, he's got to go outside of the house for a little bit, which is scary. It just created all kinds of problems. And, you know, it's funny because he wasn't – that was the challenge where every time they heard an alarm, they had to run out and tackle a loose – felon, a loose bail skipper in the backyard. And what we had scripted was every time Chase was busy, like every time he went to the bathroom or was having a serious emotional conversation with someone, the alarm was going to go off. Like it was always going to go off at an inopportune moment for him. And the time that he hurt himself, he was on the other side of the lawn, and it's like a huge, huge backyard, and we thought there's no way he'll have time to get to him, and man, he just blew everybody away. And like the guy is competitive. He does not.
Well, what happened? The handcuffs broke loose once they were, because I had to slow it down and look, and it looked like one of the handcuffs just came flying up and hit him across the bridge of the nose. Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened. And, you know, you have to pull pretty hard to break those handcuffs.
He's incredible. We've got a caller that would like to ask a question.
Yeah.
Would you mind taking a caller from one of our listeners?
Absolutely.
Let's do this. Michael, thank you so much for calling in. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. This is such a great moment for me.
I have to let John know that this caller is from Manitoba.
Yes, and he does something called Big Brother Whispers on Facebook and is
nice.
Highly involved in reality TV. So take it, Michael.
Well, yeah, I just want to say that Terry and Paul do have a good point about bringing up the Joe Schmo every episode. Every airing, because they got me hooked on this show, and I'm pleasantly surprised. This show, at first I thought it was like, oh, I don't know, it might be cruel to like one person, but like you said, you fall in love with the character because you're rooting for him, and it was just so cleverly done. I was like hooked, and I found myself laughing and just having a great time. It was a different spin on the reality TV, and I just loved it. It was great, and I want to thank you for that too. So,
oh man, well thank you so much for saying that. That means a lot, and I always love it when people discover the show, and they enjoy it. Like it's a thrill for me, and I'm really glad you enjoyed it.
And actually, now that this season's done, I'm going to go back and try and find a way to watch the other two seasons and just look at, like, I'm not just the kind of guy that just looks at one thing. I try to redo it all, and then Cherry knows this. And
yeah.
I just analyze things, like, to death. So I'm going to see how the show has progressed, and I just think it's going to be awesome because I'm a huge reality TV buff and nerd. And I just loved it to death, and it was great. And thank you so much for that too. It's a wonderful thing to have like a new experience. So, you know.
Oh, that's fantastic! I hope you like the other seasons. They're fun.
Yeah, and
I think you'll enjoy them.
And what I was really impressed about, too, was how the seasons were so spread out, and then you were able to go back into the swing of things. It just seemed like you kind of picked up where you were left off, and then you didn't really have to do much, because you could tell right away it was from the heart, because just how, like, you picked the setting of the house, how beautiful it was, and then how much you invested in it, and then you could see the reaction of the staff when, like, certain things were picking up and you didn't know what would happen, and you could see how much time it is invested in a segment and stuff. So I just, like, I totally pick up on those vibes and stuff, and I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, because I've done a lot of reality shows, and, you know, sometimes, you know, the crew doesn't care to be there. They want to, as soon as they get a break, they stop and take a break. And this one's different because, you know, everyone just loved the concept of this. Everyone, you know, fell in love, you know, with Chase. And,
yep.
You know, I think with this show, more than anything, everyone cares because you realize you're doing something good. Like, it really is a positive show, and I think everyone that works on it gets caught up in that positivity, and, you know, they take their game up a notch or two because, you know, they really care about the project, and, you know, they care about Chase, they care about, you know, not blowing the secret. It's I think a lot of it has to do with the positivity of the show.
Yeah, you get that vibe right away, and that's what got me hooked too.
That's great.
Yeah. And the one thing I want to know, too, is how do you control the camera crew in a show like this, too? Because they have to basically have a whole poker face the whole time, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, we impress that upon them so much.
Pay them well, I would imagine.
Yeah. And, it's, you know, these guys, you know, they've seen it all. Like, the camera crew is so good. And they've seen everything, and you know, they did have where they would have a hard time keeping it together, but they did a fantastic job. Our associate director, John Downer, you know, he's worked on everything, you know, and he's just like a really, you know, he's a tough guy. Like, he runs the set like a drill sergeant, but it got to the point where he couldn't even talk to Carly. He couldn't look at her. Mr. Wentworth was anywhere near it. He couldn't, like, he'd have to send somebody else in. Like, he couldn't be near it because it just cracked him up so much.
Now, John, he was your production spokesperson, if you will, correct? He was the one that we'd see talk?
No, that's John Stevens. He's another executive producer. He's with the production company.
All right. Okay. Mr. Wentworth was hilarious, and whoever came up with having him poke his head up in the window every once in a while. I mean,
it's
incredible.
I'm guilty.
See, look at us. We're picking the brains of the producer here.
Incredible. Michael, you're welcome to stay on the line with us. We've got another caller I'm going to bring up, and you're welcome to stay on with us if you like.
That would be awesome. Thank you, Terry.
Okay. Cindy, thank you so much for calling into the Rad Reality Show Network. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. What would you like to ask John Holland more about the Schmo Show?
Oh, I would just love to tell him how much I love it. This is the first season I've ever seen it. And it was
great.
Super awesome.
Nice.
Now, did I hear you right or did I not hear you right? Do you pick is the same cast every year or is it different?
Oh, it's different every year. The only person that's remained the same has been our host, Ralph Garman.
Oh, okay. I love him.
Yeah, in the first season, he just played like a normal kind of ill-tempered host. In the second season, he was blonde and British. And then this season he was Jake Montrose. So
I plan on going back on the internet to watch the other two seasons, but it's great. Is there going to be a fourth season?
I don't know. I mean, right now there's no plan to do that. Of course, if there were, I couldn't tell you. But there's no plans right now, and you know, we'll see. You know, Spike has to decide if it's you know, it's an expensive show to do, so they need to. They've got to figure out if it makes sense on the bottom line to do another one. We sure hope they do.
Now, what would you have done if he didn't appreciate it being a hoax?
Could you repeat that question again?
What would you have done if I can't think of his name?
Shay.
Yeah, if he didn't like it being a trick or a hoax or whatever.
You know, that's a great question, and that's one of the dangers of this show. We don't know. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. We pick people that we think, you know, the people we pick, like, they're pretty together. They're not going to go crazy, I don't think. You know, we test them. But, you know, it's a risk of the show, and, of course, you know, we always have, you know, professionals on staff that, you know, if it looks like he's not doing well, or, you know, if it had gone bad and we had to send somebody in to talk to him and calm him down, we have those people there. But, you know, it's who you pick as that Joe is very important. And, you know, you have to have somebody that's smart and somebody that's together, and he definitely fits the bill on both those. So we thought, you know, and it's such a crazy thing to go through when you're on a show like this. They're together for 2 weeks all the time, all the cast, and it's a compressed time, but you're all going through the same experience that's so intense that it really bond you tight, and it's so weird for him. I can't imagine what this like, but for him, those people that he bonded with, he finds out they don't even exist. They're not even real. And you know, it's such a mental journey that you have to go on.
I know. I would have loved to have seen like 10 more minutes of them all sitting around on the couch talking at the end.
Yeah, I would have loved to have shown.
That would have been, you know, as the real you know, as the real people instead of their character. That was fun.
They really should let me do a 2-hour finale. I mean,
yes, they did need one.
I wish, because, you know, it was great, because they talked probably about an hour, I would say. You know, we had all season long. There's so many good moments that, you know, you just don't have time to film, to show. You know, you're filming 24/7 and you can't show everything. And, you know, it always crushes me. That's one of the toughest things every year is what didn't make it. And, you know, I'd much rather have that problem than not have enough. But
right.
I have
one more question and I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
How much of his notes did you guys really get to read? His journal.
That's,
you know, it's funny because we didn't get to read all of it. We try, you know, we could zoom that camera in and read it pretty well when he was writing. And then, you know, this is pretty bad of us, but, you know, they sign contracts that they don't have any secrets while they're there. But we sent somebody to run in.
Oh, that's what I would have done, but...
to his room while he was out. And they would read it, and then we were able to do that a couple times. But then he started booby-trapping it.
No kidding.
He would put it under an elaborate pattern of, like, shoestrings and things. And so he would know if someone had messed with it.
Wow.
Oh, he was like smart.
That's bringing it, man.
He's definitely smart.
I fell in love with him right away. He was a great character.
Yeah, he's such a good guy, and I'm really pleased that, you know, I spoke to him this morning, and he was just overwhelmed with all the Twitter love he's gotten. And, you know, nobody deserves that more than him. Like, he really is just such a good person, and I always like it when the good people get recognized. That's the way it should be.
Absolutely. He and his wife, Taylor, were just adorable. I mean, just adorable to see them when they first told him that this was a hoax, and he started tearing up. And I loved the way that you showed the control room and showed your people and their reactions to watching what he was doing, and then went back and showed him and how he was responding. You know, we got to see everybody's emotions and how everybody was responding. And we really weren't sure exactly how he, you know, was going to. We could see that he was tearing up and that his emotions were welling up, and he didn't seem to be handling it very well, you know. And when he was finally told that he was receiving this $100,000 check, you know, it seemed to be, you know, like, yes. And he slammed his hand up against the wall, and he went over and gave, what was her name, Cindy, I think, a hug. And Ron, that's it. And he finally seemed at that point to realize, you know, I've at least won. And then when you told him, you know, you've won the Joe Schmo Show, and he was like, what are you guys talking about? I was just like, yes, now he's starting to get it, you know?
Yeah.
And fabulous ending.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I have to say, John, whoever edited the clips throughout the season, actually, I think every single episode we would see him slamming his hand against the wall behind him. I was still wondering when the finale aired if he was going to be pissed off. So whoever edited it that way, you got me.
Point.
And it's hard to get Paul.
It is.
Yeah. We had a great team of editors, and it was they did a phenomenal job.
I'm still curious. Two questions from me. First of all, is this the type of show that you can't really do back-to-back, that you have to take some time off? And then my second question is for casting. Do they, when they cast for possible people, do they ask if they're big, huge reality watchers, reality show fans?
Yeah, let me take the first question. Yeah, I think it can be done again. You just have to find, you know, the right concept and the right person, or the right Joe. And, you know, it can absolutely be done again. Because, you know, there's so many reality shows out here. And you know, the type of person we cast isn't going to be a person who wants to be on a reality show. They're not like we don't. You can't apply to be on the Joe Schmo Show. We don't have like open auditions or anything like that, because you know the people who are really into reality shows and really want to be on a reality show, they're really savvy about how
that's exactly
everything
why I
works.
Asked the question.
Yeah, and they know what to do to get screen time. They know. If they start a fight, they're going to be in the show a lot. And we don't want that Joe to act at all. We want a real person acting real. We've got actors to do the acting.
Right. Joanne Schmoan?
It's funny. Well, season two, we had a female Schmo and a male Schmo. We had two of them. And you know what's funny? I don't know if we'll have a Joanne Schmo or not, because women are too hard to trick.
Smarter.
I like you already, John.
They really, you know, figure, like, it's tough to pull something on a woman because they're more intuitive than men, I think, and a little more skeptical. It's tough.
Right.
I'm sure there's the right one out there. I'm sure there's the right one out there.
Now, here's something that you might want to think about. We're talking about the Joanne Schmo thing, and then you're worried about the reality TV fan. But what if you work the reality TV fan and you script it up like a certain way and you just really go at it hard? And, oh, man, that would be a really interesting twist because a lot of the fans, reality TV fans, would just rub it in, I think, after.
Yeah. No, you're probably right.
You know, another thing that I definitely have to bring up before all this ends is Carly. And along the lines of people, you asking about the cameraman, or I forget who asked about keeping them in check. But I am amazed, and maybe we just didn't see it all from the editing, I'm amazed that more of your actors didn't crack up like Carly did on that one episode. You know, I'm just amazed. I was cracking up myself all the time, and most of your actors were able to hold it together.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's really tough. And, you know, I was actually talking with Randy last night, and, you know, one of the things he was going to do is just start saying, you know, sit next to Carly, and when she's turned away, just start saying filthy things about her in front of Chase to see, you know, how Chase reacts. But he tried it once, and you know, she kept it together and then had to get up and leave. So, you know, it was like that was a little bit too dangerous. But, you know, she really, she's such an amazing actress, and she's, oh, man, she's so talented. Like, she did such a good job with this. And I know, you know, a lot of times they showed things where it looked like she was blowing the show. But think about what she's doing. You know, she can't, you know, everyone's initial reaction when you hear your name is to turn around, or when you hear a sound to cover your ears. You know, it's just there. And the fact that she was able to have as few slip-ups, and I don't even consider them slip-ups, it's just being human. As, you know, as few of those moments as she did, I think, is just,
that was a dangerous character to cast, I think, because that, I think, had the moral potential of screwing up. And she did do a great job, and I definitely noticed on the finale last night that it was hard for her to break character. When she started talking normally, she actually started going back in character again.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And, you know, I really had, you know, I always knew it was hard to keep a straight face, but, you know, the day before the convicts arrived, and it's one of the things that hit the cutting room floor, that night we had the warden that you saw in the episode come in, and what we did was we had the network executives come in, the lawyers, everybody in one big room, and the warden addressed them to let them know what's coming tomorrow and to be, you know, let them, it was a speech that just it gave more realism to it. You know, if Chase sees the producers and the network and lawyers in there, he knows that, okay, this is serious. And, you know, and the warden was giving a speech about what to do and what not to do. And, I couldn't keep it together. I had to leave the room a few times. I had to just pace because I was about to burst out laughing because it was so
funny. You got to go through, like, a Giggle Fest training program or something, right?
Yeah, you know, it's just so weird when you're put in that situation because, you know, in the room, it was a very serious vibe inside the room. And, you know, he's giving this very serious talk, but you know, the actors are asking questions that we scripted for them, and it's very funny, but no, you know, you just can't laugh, and it just tickled me, and I had to leave the room a few times, and, you know, thankfully, because of my job, it's perfectly fine for me to go one way, you know, and no one noticed it, but, man, it was tough.
Grab your phone and act like you're getting a phone call.
Yeah.
That's like mad, even more mad respect for that, man. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. I want to give props again to another part of the show, and I want to know who came up with Lady Justice. That was amazing. And along with that, hopefully Taylor didn't have a fear of heights when she got up there.
Yeah, now that it was me that came up with Lady Justice, and you know, that whole ceremony. I wanted it to, you know, it's been a long time since we've done these shows, so it has to be crazy because reality TV has gotten so crazy the last few years. So we had to do something that was big, and I remember trying to explain to everybody, yeah, it's a real lady. They're going to walk inside of her. It took people a while to grasp it. Now, I would have to
may I enter
picture.
You?
Lady Justice, may
yeah.
I come inside of you? That had to be
that's
one
like,
of the
that's
funniest
like a guy's
parts
dream
ever.
Or something.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that.
Yeah. It was so crazy. And
oh, my God. That's
no, it's
hilarious.
Funny. Like, I never went inside Lady Justice the whole time.
What?
I can't believe it. Yeah, I can't believe it. Like, I was so busy when we were setting it up, and I remember when we first did, you know, when we did the first test of it, you know, obviously without Chase there, I was laughing so hard just at how ludicrous it was. You know, our set photographer was just taking pictures of me because he'd never seen somebody, like, I couldn't speak. I was laughing so hard.
What was even more hilarious, I was going to say funnier, but I don't think there's a word funnier. So was when they wrote on the parchment, because I'm a huge Survivor fan, and I was just laughing my head off just with the stuff that they came up with. And then, oh, my God, it was just so funny. Like, they just wrote random stuff on there.
Yeah, there were so many nods to Survivor in that eviction ceremony, you know, with the, lighting the truth torches and you know, the vote. And then, like, one of my favorite parts of the season that's an ode to Survivor, because I really think Survivor is still one of the most well-done reality shows. Like, it's compelling every year.
And you got the biggest fan on here, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've got nothing but love for Survivor. But the only part of Survivor that I find a little silly, and I don't think they do it every season, but they've done it in the past, that llama walk was based on, you know, when they go and pay tribute to the other contestants.
Exactly,
that were gone.
Hey.
Yeah,
let me tell you, John, we've had numerous Survivor contestants on our show, and there are quite a number of them that we ask about that memory or tribute walk or whatever they label it, and some of them just say, I wish they would not do that. It's just ridiculous. I didn't want to do it. So,
yeah, it makes me laugh, and I thought, yeah, we got to make fun of that a little bit. And, you know, here's an interesting thing. I know we didn't put it in the show, but this house, the backyard, once you get past this, like, the lawn area, is a avocado orchard. And,
yum.
I mean, it's just trees and trees. Like, they sell them. Like, it's, you know, we all had plenty of avocados that while we were shooting there. But, you know, Chase starts walking up with his llama, and the animal trainer tells one of our producers, by the way, don't let the llama eat any of those leaves. Avocado leaves are poisonous to llamas. And, of course, I had no idea. And then, you know, it's like, oh, man, another thing we have to worry about. Like, can't have the llama die.
Oh, speaking of the
little things that you don't think of.
speaking of the spirit animals, I mean, that whole concept was fantastic to start with, and I'm going to forget because she was her name, or even her character's name, because it was one of the earlier episodes, but
the beaver,
the actress that had the beaver. Oh
my
God.
Yeah.
And the beaver is the Canadian thing too, so I loved it as well.
Yeah.
And I can't believe, because John, you could not have gotten the beaver to actually pee.
No.
But she must have improv that, and how nobody cracked up during, oh my God.
Yeah, you know, that's just a testament to these actors. I really can't say enough good things about these actors. You know, everyone always says, well, you know, which one do you think's gonna come out and be the big standout star? And, you know, like Kristen Wiig, who was on season one. And, you know, I look at this cast, and, you know, any one of them could be the next Kristen Wiig. They are all just so talented, and I was so blessed and lucky to, you know, to work with them. And I'd say the strangest parts of the experience for me was our first table read. Because, you know, up until that point, these people were just people that existed in my head. And to see them all in the same room and see them alive, and just it was overwhelming. It was pretty amazing. And I tell you, like, there's nothing these actors can't do.
Okay, now I have another question. This may stump you. How do you yell cut in a show like that?
You don't.
You don't.
There is no
cut.
So
you got... Yeah. Because I was trying to figure out, like, if something...
What was that?
I was trying to figure out, like, if something... like, goes on, like, say, if they swear or something, that's another thing, too. I don't hear them swearing that much, too. And,
yeah.
Like, you may want to do, like, I guess you answer the question, you don't, so.
Yeah, you can't do a retake. There's no, that's one of the reasons why I say this, like, our show is one of the most real reality shows out there. You can't do a retake. And you know, just, especially on the scenes that are, you know, relationship scenes, you can't do a conversation twice. You know, there is no cut. Like, and that's why it's so tough on these actors to really keep it together that long without a break. You know, it's so mentally exhausting for them.
I'm sure.
I got to see a little bit of that when the prisoners were there during the Mr. Wentworth song, as soon as Peanut took Chase away from the group, you kind of get to see him kind of breathe a sigh of relief. And, you know, you see how it affects them, how being in character all the time does that to them.
It's like being on the job 24/7.
Yeah.
I have to know, you talked about the table read. How much time did you have? I know you would have had to prearrange that Chase was going to be isolated somewhere for all these actors to come in and sit down, but there must have been a limited amount of time to do that. How long were you ever able to bring them all together?
Well, the table reads and all the rehearsals happened before Chase arrived. So, you know, we had a few weeks of those just to get everybody comfortable in what they're doing, and, you know, and we would throw out all kinds of scenarios at them and just let them go, things that were never going to be in the show. We just wanted them to get comfortable with their characters. So when they got to set, they had them down and knew what they were doing. But now every morning, Chase would be in an interview. And when he's in his interview, he thinks the others are being interviewed too. So that's when we would sneak everybody up to the house and we'd have a meeting. It was usually somewhere between 20, 30 minutes long where we'd talk about what we're going to do that day, what everybody's job is to do, what their, you know, what their, the beats they're supposed to hit, and that was it. Then we sent them down there, and once everybody was back in the house away from the production area, then we would end Chase's interview.
Wow.
We only see like an hour or so of the show, and just getting all this information now is just even more addicting.
Yeah, there's just so much that goes into this show, so many little details that, luckily we've got it down pretty well.
Imagine if they had 24-hour live feeds.
Oh,
oh yeah.
I wouldn't go away.
I was thinking about that a couple of days ago. Like, I wonder if there's a way, I don't know, maybe we could just like, because we can't do it live, obviously, but, if we could sync the cameras up so everyone could see, we would just play it like it happened and where you would get that option to see everything that happened. I was thinking if there's a way to do that, that would be fun.
That would be so amazing because it is such a different show. And for us to be able to see, all of the behind the scenes, goings on and to see everything that happens, I think would be priceless. And your fans are, and I'm sure by now, are just such loyal fans. They would be glued to something like that. That's why I said, if you had something like live feeds or even, like you were saying, just something that was recorded that we could view, after the fact, it would be amazing to your fans to be able to see that. I'm telling you, they would be absolutely glued to it and appreciate it so much.
It's funny, I hate cutting anything out of the show. Like, I want everybody to see everything because, there's so much that you don't get to see just because of time, And, I hate for anybody to miss anything because, I love it. I'm a big fan of the show, so I know what it's like to want more. And I get to see it all. So, I would love for everybody to see everything.
Somebody in our chat room just said, what makes it such a great show is that it's not the typical reality show where people play up to the cameras. So that's, another good point. It isn't one of, the many reality shows where everybody's, vying for camera time and wanting to be the next, person that's been spotted on a reality TV show and thinks they're going to be, on TV now because they've been on a reality show. So they're trying to get their 15 minutes of fame and playing up to the cameras and they want to be a TV star.
Exactly.
And so, there's a lot of those out there now who go on Big Brother and go on Survivor or The Amazing Race and some of them will even say they are applying because they want to further their career on TV.
Absolutely.
It's kind of sad that they're choosing and casting people just for that reason, but they have openly said that that's why they're on the show. And with Joe Schmo, it's totally different. You don't have people that are playing up to the cameras for that reason. It's so fresh, and it has such a different concept than all the other shows. And it has, it's got such great humor and drama and all of that mixed into one with just the right touches of each. It's just so perfect.
Now, I know that Cherry brought up the 24/7 feeds, and from what I understand, first of all, this show, the founder of this show was a huge Big Brother fan, and that's kind of how it started. So we have a lot of Big Brother people, in here. And understand that part of your resume that you did work for Big Brother. Is that true?
Yeah, that's where I met the creator of Joe Schmo was on Big Brother.
We are all Big Brother fans here. That's one of the main shows that we do is Big Brother. And so could you tell us a little about that while you're here?
And that's another experience in and of itself. That's, there's no other show like it. But I will say that the key box that they use for the eliminations.
Right.
Yeah. That was my idea.
Nice. No kidding.
Cool. Yeah,
you get
a big
virtual hug for that.
Yeah, it's I was assigned to the team that had the eviction show, the live show every week. And Big Brother 2 was when we were kind of revamping the show, and
right.
they needed something, a device, and just came up with that, and it seemed to work. So I'm happy about that. But, you know, that show is like, you know, they really do not see another human being when they're in that house. Like, they really do a great job doing it. Like, it's like a ballet, all the production that goes on. And it's amazing. And, you know, the season I was there was the big controversy that year was Justin got kicked off.
Yep.
And, I was on duty. Like, I was on duty in the control room.
Oh, my gosh.
Wasn't that...
When he pulled the knife?
Yeah.
Wasn't that on a Sunday or something?
Let's see.
I think it was.
No, I don't... You know, it could have been. It could have been a Sunday night because that's when we would start taking. Yeah, it could have been a Sunday night.
Man, I know my Big Brother.
it was either a Sunday or Monday, but I think you're right. I think it probably was a Sunday night. But it was so crazy because, you know, you don't get, like I said, you can't just, like every announcement they have is done by computer. Like it's one guy's voice. You know, you push one button and have the person's name, and then you push the button of, you know, come to the control room or whatever.
Please stop singing.
Yeah. there's never more than, it's the same voice. So they were drinking heavily that night, and, was where Will the Doctor was on, and Will was getting, you know, he had a lot to drink, and he was trying to see how long he could hold his breath under the hot tub with the cover on it. And of course, I'm like, that's so dangerous. You can't, you know, I can't run in there and stop him. So, you know, I just keep pressing Will, please come to the diary room, you know, just to get him off of that. You know, I'm trying to deal with that. And then I look on another camera, and there's Justin with a knife.
Holy smokes.
It was just such a ridiculous night. And, you know, thank God we were able to get everything taken care of. And, you know, in reality, probably no one was in any danger. But, you know, you can't take that risk.
No. From that season onward, they take away knives, you know, in the Big Brother house. They don't allow them to drink as much since that season. That was also a memorable season because of September 11th.
Oh, man. And I'd forgotten about that. But, yeah, that was, you know, it was just such a different time. And, I remember that day. I happened to be up super early, so, you know, on the West Coast, and I was watching everything happening, and I was just obviously, you know, affected as we all were. And then to go back to the show where everyone's sequestered and, you know, and we had to be careful what we could tell them because you have to, you know,
Wasn't it
the game.
Janet?
And, you know, it was pretty amazing how they figured something out, like, really quickly, because they noticed the plane stopped going by. And, you know, it didn't take them long on their own to figure out there must have been some kind of attack. And, you know, it was weird. Like, it was a strange time.
Because it's close to an airport. And the other question would be, did the production people know ahead of time about Monica's cousin?
Oh, it was Monica, yeah.
They knew. We knew. We didn't know she was, you know, injured in the attack, but we knew that she worked there, and we were monitoring that situation. And I believe we did. We told Monica that there was an incident at the World Trade Centers, and you know we don't have information about her cousin, and we didn't. Like we were actively trying to find as much info as we could, and you know, and she was eliminated that next time, like just a day or two later.
I remember calling her into the diary room. And,
yeah.
You know, telling her. I thought Nicole was going to lose her mind with all of the planes doing the flyovers with the banners that season.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was impossible for you guys to control. And the banners were driving her insane, talking
her
about her
husband. Right?
And
her husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. And she was about to lose it. I don't know how you guys handled her diary rooms. I honestly don't.
She is an interesting individual.
I bet. That's
you know,
a delicate way to put it.
Yeah, there's not a people like her. But, you know, I enjoy her. It was they were all very interesting people.
Well, you certainly worked on Big Brother during the best of the years of Big Brother, I have to say. Those were the best seasons ever, and, you know, I still love the show, but, you know, they're doing things now where they're bringing back people, and it seems like, you know, the challenges are being repeated, and, you know, we're all wishing that they would, you know, bring back season like season two, where everybody is new, and we don't have repeat, you know, contestants, and... that kind of thing.
The one thing I like about season two, wasn't there a thing where something about at the end of a certain vote, like at the end of the season, oh, crap, I'm trying to remember. It was like a certain twist that they've never brought back again.
Was it a fan vote? Where?
Yeah, the fan vote.
They were able to give money to... I vaguely remember that. That's been so long.
Yeah. See how awesome that feeling is? Like, it's just being cemented into our, like, you know, daily viewing now or something, that so much stuff has changed. Because at the beginning, like, the first two seasons, it almost had, like, an apartment feel.
Yeah.
And then it just gradually increased into, like, once they got more investment from, like, you know, the show and stuff like that, then they really invested hard into it. And that's basically what got me going, was I just kept on seeing the progression of the show. And it's just huge.
So, John, did you watch any of The Glass House?
You know, I watched a few episodes just to see, you know, what it was like. I see what they were doing, and you know, it's there's room for other shows that are like Big Brother, I think. I did love the getting to ask a question to America.
Right.
I loved that bit. Like, I thought that was genius. But, you know, to me, some of the things that America voted on, like, I don't know, what kind of party are they going to have? That's just a little lame.
It's almost overkill.
I don't care what kind of party. Like, it makes no difference to me if they're having a Mexican fiesta or a federal party. I don't care.
I know.
You know,
I thought it was overkill myself. You know, there was almost too much interaction, and we didn't get to see them living their lives and doing what they do in their natural habitat. You know, instead
yeah.
they were always answering our questions and, you know, doing whatever the producers were, you know, having these questions thrown at us, you know, and I don't know, it was just overkill to me. Yes, they were
yeah.
able to interact with us, and I thought that was cool, but it was just too much.
Yeah, I think that the interactions need to be meaningful in some way instead
right.
of just, you know.
So
and then they all left every weekend and spent the weekend in a hotel somewhere. I mean, I don't know.
You know,
that's
I didn't know
thing.
That. I didn't watch enough of it to even know that.
Yeah,
yep,
they all went
crazy.
Home on the weekend, or not home, but they went to a hotel on the weekends, and then they came back to the glass house during the week.
Wow, that's, okay, that's lame. I'm just going to go out and say that. I had no idea that even happened.
The one thing I liked about the glass house was the camera, the HD aspect of it, and
yeah.
then basically Big Brother Canada one-upped them because their quality feeds are just extraordinary.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
so
and I think
you,
Big Brother Canada just totally matched that as well.
Yeah. I'm sure.
So, John,
I'm sure.
you were associated with Big Brother for what seasons?
Just season two, and then I did get hired. We were going to do a celebrity version of
awesome.
Big Brother,
wow.
and you know we were staffing up, and then it got the network wasn't. Thrilled with all the celebrities we had, so it just never came to fruition.
We have been talking about that for years because of the Celebrity Edition in the UK, and wondering if they could ever pull that off in the US. And it sounds like it's not likely to happen.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I mean, it's hard to get you know celebrities willing to. Be filmed 24/7 everywhere they go.
Right.
And, you know, if you say, okay, we'll turn the cameras off for 4 hours so you can get a break, well, that destroys the integrity of the show. And, you know, to get the level of celebrity that you want for it to be interesting, you know, they don't need to do Big Brother.
Right.
So it's tough, you know.
I want to get
I
back
always
to
wanted
your,
to see...
Your... I want to ask another question about your baby and the reason we brought you on. We so easily get sucked into talking Big Brother because we're fans of that show as well. But I want to know, did you not have to have like plan A, plan B, or when things went wrong, did you always have to do it on the fly?
Oh, we had, you know, plans A through Z, but you can't, like there's always something that comes up that you don't think of or, you know, that alters what your story is. You know, he was really, like Chase really bonded with Chico really early. And, you know, his exit was originally supposed to be pretty traumatic and big, and Chico's exit. And we felt that, you know, they had gotten so close that could send Chase off to a dark place. So, you know, we didn't do that. I mean, one of the things that you didn't see on the show that, you know, is one of the last things we cut, but I killed me not to show it because I really loved it, is, you know, at that first eviction ceremony, Chico is wearing a jersey, and then, you know, at the next one, he has a nice shirt. Well, what happened was after that first eviction ceremony, Chase came to Chico and said, look, man, you know, I want you to be a success. And, you know, I know you don't have a lot of nice shirts. You're just coming from prison. you know, do any of my shirts, do you like any of those? And he gave Chico a shirt just because he wanted him to feel good about himself and to be in the group. And it was, you know, I know it's a comedy show, but you couldn't help but tear up when you see this moment because it was just such a real moment of genuine human kindness and looking out for your fellow man.
See,
and
it was just
really beautiful.
You cast the perfect Joe Schmo. I'm glad you shared that with us because that is Chase. I know one of our chatters earlier said, can you ask John if he can get Chase to come on our Rad Reality show? I mean, what a darling Taylor is. I mean, you must have fallen in love with her when you talked with her.
Yeah, she's so sweet, and they're so great together. It's funny, like if you look, you know, if you watch the finale really close, I hope you can't tell, but when I'm telling her what's going on, you know, I'm fighting back tears because I knew how happy, you know, it was going to make them. And, you know, we all, like, really care about Chase and, like, we're going to give these great, you know, you feel good when you give somebody great news.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it was nice, but I was like, I can't let anybody see me cry on TV. I'm going to keep it together. I had to talk a little slow and have some pauses in there. But, those two people, they're perfect for each other. And, you know, they're not a nicer couple on the planet.
So we certainly saw her play Lady Justice. Did you have to twist her arm at all to do that, or was she perfectly willing?
No, she was perfectly willing. She was into it. She's a fun girl, and she saw this as fun, and she was thrilled, and, you know, she hadn't seen her husband for a few weeks, so I think she was chomping at the bit just to see her husband, whether, you know, she couldn't acknowledge him at first, but, you know, and she said it was really tough for her to listen to everything that's going on and not be able to turn and look. You know, she could just hear it. And, you know, and she hears Chase lose, and she said, you know, it was really tough for her.
Oh, I can imagine.
Keep it together up there. But
when he looked and saw that was her, you saw the smile break on his face. And, I mean, he's like, that's my wife, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, and
that's
then
my
the
wife
classic.
For life.
The classic line from Chase, you know, who's just a normal guy, but what a great sense of humor. His classic line after he, you know, all the actors said, you know, they were actors. And then he says, are you the real Taylor Rogan?
Yeah. that was such a nice moment. Such a nice moment.
All right,
moment.
Real quickly, I want to know who was in your plan A, who was supposed to be in the final three?
Randy, Lorenzo. Oh man, let me think about that, man. Yeah, Randy, Lorenzo, and Chase. We were going to get rid of Al. Al was going to be the last one to go.
Wow.
I would have loved to have seen Randy in the end.
Well, yeah, but Chase took that away from us.
Yeah, he did. Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you one quick thing that was an early idea, but we just decided it was too mean, and it definitely was. We shouldn't have done it, but, you know, when they go on their hunts, their bounty hunts that they went on, Randy wasn't going to come back.
What?
And he was going to be injured, and, you know, they really didn't know what happened to him. And then that night at the eviction, there's going to be a picture of him sitting up there. And the first version was a coffin rolled out, and he'd been killed. And then we thought, oh, no, that's too much. Then it was
That would have been.
It was too much. And then, but what we were thinking about doing, and we kept this up until the very end, he was going to be injured, but he's going to be all right. He was just in the hospital. And then when I think Lorenzo won, he was going to come charging in with, you know, still attached to an IV, wearing, you know, wearing a hospital gown. Wanda right behind him because she'd been taken care of and that's where she was. And that's when all the craziness was going to happen. But, you know, we ultimately, with him eliminating Randy, we couldn't do that. But then we also felt, you know, at that point, we'd gotten away with so much. That might be a little too much. And I don't think we would have got the reaction that we got.
How can you not get, like, an evil laugh out of all that stuff, too?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know,
and then put your finger up to your mouth like Dr. Evil or something.
I think it was perfect the way it turned out. I thought it was a fabulous finale. I mean, fabulous.
Yeah,
it was heartwarming and funny and just almost every emotion that you can humanly have was stirred up in that finale last night.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true.
Oh, so. I have to ask you, how have you heard from Matt Kennedy Gould, the first Joe Schmo? What is he up to?
He is doing fantastic. He is. He also is in Pittsburgh. He's, you know, he's got a wife and kids. He's super happy. And in fact, I had I hooked he and Chase up a couple weeks ago.
Really?
And, you know, they went and had dinner, and they, you know, they, you know, Matt and his wife and Taylor and Chase, and you know, they really got to know each other, and you know, they can relate to each other in ways that no one else can.
Nobody,
you know, they've
nobody
both
on
been through that
planet
experience.
Can. Right.
I bet the wives even related to each other too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, Chase was telling me, like, I would ask him if he felt, you know, this way when this happened, and he was like, yeah, exactly. And did you feel this way when this happened? 100%. You know, he said it was nice to talk to somebody who understood what it was like to be in that position.
Oh, I bet that was one of the most awesome dinners ever. I would love to even just have a picture of them together. That has to be, oh, that's amazing to know that they all went out together.
Chase sent me a picture of them together, and I thought it's great. And then Chase said a fan came up and asked him for his picture, and he said sure, and said while he was taking it, the fan looked over and saw Matt Gould, and it just blew his mind to see both of them together.
Oh, I bet it did. Oh, my
gosh.
Okay,
I have to find out about how the poop in the urn came to be, and that. Was it real?
Yeah. It was not real. No, it was not real, but it looked real and it felt real.
Oh.
We had a great partner to put that together. And, you know, I actually had to, to respond to several emails from legal assuring them that we were not using real human feces.
Or else you would see the mosquitoes. That's how you explain it.
And
yeah.
Who first caught Chase's I just drew a blank. His tail with him, his tongue to his cheek.
You know, we noticed it right away, like in that first comfort item scene. Like it was pretty obvious that you know he'll rock back and forth and stick his tongue in his cheek whenever he's uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, he was uncomfortable plenty of times.
Didn't he have,
that
like,
was an
hand?
Invaluable thing to have for the entire season, for you to be able to see that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Didn't he have
more
his hands, like, a certain way, too, like, on his lap or something?
Yeah, he would rub his legs.
Yeah.
You know. That's 100% true. Yeah, he absolutely did that.
Okay. I miss it already, you know, and we haven't even rolled around to where it should be airing next week yet, but I know it's over, and the season finale aired last night, and I already miss it. I want season 4.
Yeah, well, you know, I do too, so let's hope Spike goes that way, so.
Well,
I don't know if you've been asked this question probably like a million times, John, but,
yeah.
You know, we kind of get the Joe,
but can you explain the schmo part of it, like in the title?
You know, it's just that's a phrase that just means it's every man. You know, it's not.
But did you play with it because it is a show as well? Is that what you were thinking of?
Yeah, it was just like this show is not about an actor. It's about an everyman type of character. You know, it's about any Joe Schmo, and you know, you just add a show on there, and it's right there. But you know, it's all about kind of celebrating the little guy.
Yeah, because it totally does, and then on top of that, it rhymes as well, and it's very
yeah.
very catchy.
Yeah,
the word schmo. I did a Google it for a noun. It's a fool or a bore. A synonym for it is schmuck.
Yeah,
so.
Joe Schmuck show. No, yeah, Joe Schmo.
That was
no,
it's also Yiddish for an idiot or a cuckold.
I don't think that's where they were going.
No, we definitely weren't going there.
No, I don't think so either.
No, definitely not going there.
No.
That's like one of the...
Here's another one they throw in. It's from Yiddish, schmuck, penis, or fool.
No, Paul,
yeah, I knew,
Paul.
I knew that. I knew what schmuck was. I knew that, but...
okay,
I'm looking at... I'm unfortunately not really versed in Yiddish,
No,
so.
But I have to say something, though. That's, like, one of the most cleverish titles. Like, we got Survivor, we got Big Brother, but then, you know, that title, Joe Schmo. And then I think you were also involved in the Joe versus Pro.
Yeah, Pro versus Joe's, yeah.
Yeah, I think you did like one season of that too or something, right?
Yeah, two seasons of that one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Which ones did you do for that one?
I did season 2 and 3. The ones with Petros Papadakis.
Okay, yeah, I remember that. Did you get involved with the basketball at all too?
We definitely had some basketball challenges in there.
Yeah,
I
think you had a football one too, eh?
Oh yeah, we did football. We did hockey. We did everything. Soccer, everything. We didn't do race, you know, we didn't do car racing, but or horse racing, but we did just about everything else.
And
wow.
Did you find that with the average Joe, because I think that was produced just after the first season of the Joe Schmo, did you find that like Spike TV was like the perfect fit for you guys, like with the relationships you already established?
I was brought into that one, so I don't know how it came to be. You know, they'd already sold it and had the, you know, they'd already done their first season before I came in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a super fun show to do. You know, every guy's dream to compete on a professional level. Like everyone thinks they can.
No doubt. Yeah.
So when they're going against professionals, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, John, I know I can't believe the time has just flown by. It's been such a joy.
Thank you, guys.
It has been. I am so honored, John, that you took the time to call in and speak with us. This has been one of my pleasures to speak with you and talk about Joe Schmo, because that has been one of mine and my husband's favorite shows of all time. And I'm just thrilled to be able to speak with you and be able to say that I talked with you on the show, and to be able to bring you, you know, on air with all of our listeners just has made my night, made my year.
I'm honored that you guys took the time to watch the show. You know, that means the world to me. We put this silly show out there, and you hope people watch it and like it, and you know, when they do, it just, you know, it's fantastic, and you know, you've been very supportive all season. You know, I want to thank you and your listeners for that. And, you know,
they
follow
got me hooked.
On Twitter. I'm at Jay Holland Moore on Twitter. Follow me. You know, I'll read everything. So,
well, we certainly will, and we want to be the first to hear if you hear anything from Spike. If there's going to be a season 4, if there's going to be any follow up at all on. anything to do with Joe Schmo or, you know, what you're doing in the future, any, if you're promoting anything, you are always welcome to come back on the Rad Reality Show, promote anything that you're doing. We'd love to hear back from you. So feel free to contact us anytime. Let us know what you're up to, what you're promoting, what you're doing, what shows you're involved with. Let us know, and we'll promote it and keep it going to all of our listeners, and let them know, you know, what to watch out there. So keep us informed, keep us, you know, in your thoughts, and let us know what's going on with you. And just thank you so much for calling in tonight and talking to our listeners. We have enjoyed it so much.
Great.
Oh, I can't believe how much this means to me too, and being a part of something for everybody tonight. It's like, as a fan, I'm just so grateful that you guys invited me onto this too, and thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And introducing the Joe Schmo Show to me through the Rad Reality Show.
Thank you, Michael
Doyle.
That just meant a lot, because I'm a huge reality TV fan, and this is just another thing that's going to tick on my torch to keep on watching.
Nice.
Well, thank
that.
You guys so much.
John, thank you again. As I said, you're always welcome to call back in anytime. You have a wonderful night, and God bless. Thank you so much for bringing us so many laughs. We've enjoyed every minute of it.
I'm glad you liked it, and I'll be in touch, so you all take care.
All right, thank you again. You have a great night.
All righty.
All right, bye-bye.
All right.
Wow,
well,
what
have to say,
a
Jerry,
wonderful night.
Cool. I thought it was a pipe dream when you first brought up the possibility of bringing him on, and I am so thankful that you were able to do this. I just had a great time, Sherry.
Do you need a clear
one of my
because you're sounding curious.
One of my favorite interviews of all time. I'm just so honored that he came on to speak with us. And You guys have heard me all season long talk about the Joe Schmo Show and how much I've loved it for years. And to be able to talk to the executive producer, someone who, you know, has been that involved in creating it and putting that show together, been behind the scenes every minute of it, I'm just starstruck. That we were able to have Jay Helen Moore on the show, and he's so gracious and so kind.
Accommodating, all those good words.
Oh, my goodness.
I bet you everybody afterwards is just going to jump up and down, flap up their arms, and just go, wow, and it's like, you know, do one of those hoorah dances. It was what an amazing night.
It has been a great, great night. Michael, thank you for calling in. We've enjoyed having you. I've just had a great time tonight being able to talk with the producer of many great reality shows out there. And I'm sure he's not done. So let's all keep Spike TV in our thoughts, and any of you who might want to write in and suggest a season 4 for the Joe Schmo Show, that might not be a bad idea. So
let's
think about that. We might start a write-in campaign for the Joe Schmo Show right into Spike TV and let them know that we want more of the Joe Schmo Show.
More.
Yes, that's right. More of more. So,
sounds like a presidential campaign.
It does sound like a presidential campaign. I want to remind everyone to be back here on the Rad Reality Show tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central for our Survivor Caramone Roundtable Show with Travis Bubba Sampson as our host. And then again on Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, for the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show with Mr. Louis Stravato of Season 16 of The Amazing Race. And then on Manic Monday, at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, with the Portuguese princess herself, Miss Michelle Costa of Season 10 from Big Brother. So we've got lots of shows coming up. Make sure you join us here on the Rad Reality Show Network for all of them. We've had a great night with all of you. Thank you so much for being here with us and joining us for a special evening on a special night with the executive producer of the Joe Schmo Show, Mr. J. Holland Moore. What a great, great interview and great accommodating guy he was to call in and talk with us and answer all those questions. An hour and a half he spent here with us.
Wow.
And didn't skip a beat. He didn't seem like, you know, he was bored of answering all these questions. He was just willing to answer anything that we asked. And I'm so thankful for him to come on the show and be here for all of our listeners. What a great night. So
yeah, and for us Big Brother fans, it was supposed to be Joe Schmo, but he seemed very willing and he enjoyed talking about his Big Brother time, and I loved it. It was great. He was fantastic.
And what a neat little tidbit to know. He was the creator of the
wow,
key.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm floored with that because that's like cemented into Big Brother.
Absolutely. I mean, just what a great guy. So anybody that wants to follow him, it's J. Holland Moore on Twitter, at J. Holland Moore.
May I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
Could we put that on the Facebook group as well?
Let's do that under
that post?
Let's do that.
Yeah.
I will go in and do that right after I get off here.
Okay.
So, again, thank you all for being here with us tonight. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do. Just follow him and let him know how much we've enjoyed the show tonight. And write in to Spike TV. Let them know that we want to have more Joe Schmo. I mean, when we have somebody this awesome writing such great shows, we need to support them as much as we can. I enjoyed last night's finale just so much, and I don't know how many of you watch the show, but when you have a show that can bring you, as I said before, drama, laughter, and all of the emotions that show brought up in everyone last night, people were getting tears in their eyes and laughing, and there was a tad bit of sadness, but laughter, just all the emotions you can imagine, all in, like, just moments. That's excellent TV. And he's just such a great, great writer. I can't wait for more. I'm going to miss Joe Schmo so much. And that's why I was so thrilled when I heard that it was coming on again, that they were doing a season 3, because it just has that ability to grab you in, and you can't wait to see the next episode. So I'm going to miss it dearly, and I certainly hope we see it again soon. So J. Holland Moore, thank you for bringing us the Joe Schmo Show, and thank you for being on the Rad Reality Show too. I'm going to close this show tonight with Ron, as I always do. Have a great night. Be back here tomorrow night with us. Here's Ron.
Thank you, everyone. I'm signing off, too. I'm going to finish off the show with... Oh, man, what am I going to finish off with tonight? I got lots of stuff I can finish off with tonight. But you know what I'm going to finish off with tonight? I'm going to do this one. Sweet dreams.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew.
Have a great night, everyone. Thanks for being here on this special night for this special show. I've enjoyed it so much. God bless. Take care. Be kind to each other. Have a great night.